This is a CBC podcast.
Support for delivery of this podcast comes from Chevrolet. At Chevrolet, we bring people together with the things that matter to them most. Visit Chevrolet.gm.ca.
Hello, I'm Sheila Rogers. Welcome to the best of Sounds Like Canada. You're listening to our podcast of the day's highlights of Sounds Like Canada, and you can catch our full show on CBC Radio 1 at 10 o'clock or a couple of times a day on Sirius Satellite Radio 137. Amy Ford wrote to Sounds Like Canada and recommended that we talk to Dr. Keith Aronick and Dr. Vivek Mehta. They're pediatric neurosurgeons at the Stollery Children's Hospital in Edmonton. Amy is a nurse who used to work with both those doctors, and in her letter she calls them, quote, research giants and true innovators in their field of pediatric neurosurgery, and as well as being terrific people. So Dr. Keith Aronick and Vivek Mehta are joining me now from Edmonton. Good morning.
Good morning.
Amy also said, doctors, that this is a quote, I really think they should be recognized as a very precious part of the Edmonton community as they help heal the youngest and smallest Edmontonians each day and night at work. Dr. Mehta, to you first of all, what's it like to hear that from a colleague?
Oh, I think that's just so sweet and wonderful. And it's really an honor to hear that from your colleagues. You know, I think we have so many wonderful people we work with, and to hear something from someone that you work closely with like that is, it really is rejuvenating.
Dr. Aronick, what's it like to get the Order of Amy?
Well, we really appreciate that. Sometimes when we're working nonstop, day and night, we don't take a lot of time to interact with our colleagues, like specifically, it just happens along the way. And for someone to recognize us when we're running like that, it really means something. It's not something that we're asked to give a talk or a presentation. It's just day by day, and it really means something in during the run of the mill kind of activities that we do. To be recognized like that, it's special.
Dr. Aronick, another thing that Amy singled out about you is that you allow your patients to get dressed up for Halloween. Do you get dressed up too?
No, I don't. I'm a little bit stuffy, I'm afraid.
Really?
Old style. Yeah, I'm afraid I still wear white coats and ties. And in pediatrics, anything goes. It's fine to wear a Halloween costume on Halloween and Easter costume when during the Easter break. It is accepted, but I'm a little old-fashioned.
Amy said, though, you are up on all the superheroes.
I have two daughters that keep me up to date. We try and keep our office well supplied with toys, and my girls come in fairly regularly to help sort and clean the toys, and they pretty well know what's going and on the Disney scene and all, so we do keep up.
Dr. Mehta, I'm actually going to ask this to both of you, but how did you both get into the field of neurosurgery, pediatric neurosurgery especially?
I think that first off, neurosurgery in general is a fascinating field, and it's kind of one of the last frontiers in healthcare, and our understanding is pretty, I would say it's increasing dramatically every few years. So one of the things I like to think of neurosurgery and neuroscience as the last frontier, and then once you start entering neurosurgery, and you start to go through it, I've always been impressed by the resilience of children and the strength of families. And I think one of the things that has drawn me to take care of children is that many of the ailments that affect them are not inflicted at all by anything they've done. And then the family dynamics are so key in how they recover. And the resilience of the children just to respond to surgery is also dramatic. So I think a combination of the frontier and learning lots and the combination of the resilience of the children and the importance of the family unit really make pediatric neurosurgery a fascinating and rewarding field.
Dr. Aronick, what drew you to it?
Well, my story has to go back to the early 80s when I finished training in neurosurgery and was about to start practice. And I was from Edmonton, trained in Alberta, and had been away to several larger centers that had like real children's hospitals and a children's hospital mentality for the community. And we didn't have that in Edmonton, and only recently reached that level of specialization and commitment of a children's hospital, that mentality. So back in the 80s, we didn't have a children's hospital. We didn't have pediatric subspecialty surgery organized. And I decided when I finished neurosurgery that that would be my contribution to our group and to the community, is to try and organize a pediatric neurosurgical service. And for that, I had to leave. I had to go to Toronto, and I had to go to New York, and then spend quite a bit of time in Chicago at children's hospitals, that level of commitment. And I wanted to bring that back to Edmonton. Many Canadian cities have that level of specialization, and they think like a children's hospital city, and Edmonton didn't. So that was going to be my focus, and my contribution is to come back and try and get a group of people together with that level of commitment and specialization so we could start a surgical service for a children's hospital.
Why was that so important to you, rather than just having a very large children's department in a major hospital?
Well, that does work as well. And different cities do it different ways, but a children's hospital has a level of focus and commitment that goes above a general hospital. So a general hospital can have very busy surgeons and very busy physicians doing both. But to focus on children and have a facility that is oriented towards families and children, it takes a different mentality, a children's hospital mentality, to be able to focus on the family. A very busy general hospital can do it. Busy surgeons can do both adult and pediatric, but to specialize in pediatrics and think about the child, the parent, the community, and also one step further, to be able to think about focusing totally on children. And instead of doing your second half of the week very busy on the adult side, maybe do the second half of the week doing research on specifically children's and families and communities' needs in terms of pediatrics. It's a different level of focus. Children's hospitals are different than busy, superb general hospitals.
Dr. Mehta, I know that you weren't born in Edmonton, or you didn't grow up in Edmonton as Dr. Aronik did. How did you come to work in Edmonton?
I grew up in Eastern Canada and trained in Ontario and Halifax and Boston, but there was two main reasons I came to Edmonton. One was certainly it's been a privilege to work with my partner Keith Aronik, and certainly learned a lot from him in the last 6 or 7 years. And like most stories, I did meet a girl, and I did meet my wife in Boston, and we fell in love and got married, and my wife is born and raised in Edmonton, and her family's from Edmonton, and that was also a strong drawing card to come out west. And I think, you know, the family unit's so important, and now that we have children and our own family, that having those support structures in place are very helpful.
I'm speaking with Dr. Keith Aronik and Dr. Vivek Mehta, who are both pediatric neurosurgeons at the Stollery Children's Hospital in Edmonton. And the reason I'm speaking with them is that we had an email from Amy Ford, who used to work with them, and suggested that these were two very important Edmontonians that deserve national recognition. They're in our Edmonton studio this morning. I know that a growing focus in medicine is holistic care, treating the whole person. Have you both grown more adept, I guess, at that over the years, being aware of your patient's well-being? Dr. Mehta?
I think you bring a very good point, Sheila. When you go through medical school and residency, you're so focused on the hardcore science and the residency part of the technical aspect of neurosurgery, that sometimes the issue of holistic medicine and the other aspects of importance in mental care and help healing, you're not really attuned to it. And it's, to give the patients credit, I think the patients are the ones that teach you about this. And in fact, in different studies, we know that 50 or 60% of people that have brain tumors or other things that are serious will often look at other treatments. And so I think that you're right. I think part of our holistic medicine is learned from the patients, and as we go farther along, not necessarily through our medical school and residency, but I think it is an important aspect. And I think as you get older and older, you realize the importance of it. Having said that, I think it's like most things. It's tempered by some parts that are accurate and some parts that may be a little on the edge. But I think that's a discovery that everyone has to go through on their own.
I understand you've got a story about a young boy with a scar that taught you something.
Well, in surgery, we're often trying to push the limits and do things better. But those things are always balanced by an inertia that one feels to change based on the results that you perceive are good. And so there was recently an operation that we started doing that I thought the old operation, to be honest with you, was just as good. But at the insistence and urgence of others in my division, I thought it's worth trying this out and looking forward and seeing what this has to offer. And the surgery that we started doing involved smaller incisions. And I think the surgery certainly helps the children in terms of what we're trying to accomplish. But I learned a lot about a simple thing like a scar. And as a neurosurgeon, sometimes you don't think about a scar. You think about, I'm going to work on the brain, on the skull, and that's by far more important than the scar. And then you realize for the patient, sometimes getting a buzz cut in the summer and seeing a large scar can be quite debilitating in terms of their mental status for a little while. And if you can do things to try to prevent that and make smaller scars and you can still do the job well, it's probably worth doing. So I think I learned that from a four-year-old.
Dr. Aronik, what have you learned from your patients?
Well, I've learned a lot from patients and families, the ability to cope with things that you and I would have a difficult time coping with. These little children not only do well on their own, but they help their families, extended families, through a lot of illnesses. There's a lot of strength, and we now, even if a child is young, we still focus on the child. If we're making rounds in the morning and there's a large family presence in the room, even if it's a 4 or 5 year old child, they're kind of in charge of the whole stress management, psychological side of the illness, and we just focus right in on that child, no matter what their age is, and they help their families through it. It was what Dr. Mehta was referring to before, the resilience and the strength of character of the children.
It's sort of the opposite of children should be seen and not heard.
They should be the center of attention and focus during a time in the hospital, even if it's a fun time. If they've returned to say hello to the ward staff and to the doctors and nurses that took care of them, they're still the focus. The family comes along and they'll come to fundraising events for the Stollery Children's Hospital Foundation, and the children are still the main focus, and they enjoy being themselves and the most important person at the time.
How difficult, though, can this work be for you psychologically? I mean, it's not always successful what you do. Of course, that's the outcome you want, but how do you deal with that, Dr. Aronik?
Well, that's the main reason why pediatric neurosurgery is often understaffed, and people actually try and avoid it when they're training in neurosurgery because of some of the bad news situations that we do have. And it does happen sometimes as accidents and sometimes through no fault of their own. Bad things do happen in neurosurgery, especially in the pediatric corner of neurosurgery, but the good things certainly outweigh the bad things. And when you deal with it in the long term, the resilience of the children and their ability to get on with life is empowering, and it does help us and the family through. Something that happens that is terrible at the beginning, they cope, and our relationship goes on for days and then weeks and then months and then years, and we can look forward. We can look beyond the pain and the problems of the moment, and we see the future and the ultimate reasonable and sometimes very good outcomes. So I think if you can maintain that long-term focus and know that life is life, and they'll do well and they'll cope and they'll adapt, I think that helps us to get through the bad moments is we can see if there is a bad diagnosis or if there is a problem that is going to keep the child in hospital again, and maybe another infection, and maybe another 7 days in the hospital. We can see the next stage, they're going to be fine. That is a small little blip that they'll get over, and looking one step further, they'll be just fine.
Dr. Mehta, where do you go for support for the harder days?
Usually to my family or to the golf course. No, I think what you allude to is important, and it's an individual journey sometimes on how to deal with things that go bad. And I think an aspect that Dr. Ronick's talking about makes a lot of sense, that, you know, a lot of these kids will adapt and do well in the long term. They're so they're amazing creatures in the sense of how they can recover. But you did bring up a point that things often happen that there is no recovery from. And we are now getting better and better at dealing with palliative care for children. And in fact, we have a service at the Stollery that helps with situations that are terminal. Something we didn't have 5 years ago. And then on an individual basis, I think you have to believe that you're doing the best you can for the patient, for society. Part of you has to believe that this is something that has to be done by someone, and you're as well trained to handle it as anyone. And then you do also need an escape. And for me, I need to escape, and usually it's Saturday morning from 6 to 10, and everyone knows it, but that works with me. But I think everyone's got to find their own peace of mind for that.
What has it been like for you two to work together over the years?
Well, we've grown closer and closer. We work very hard because we're trying to preserve that level of care and commitment that a children's hospital deserves, which means the two of us cover the entire pediatric service. And it's a fairly big city and a fairly big referral area, so we do what we refer to as one and two. We're on call every second night. Essentially, we break it up for a week on, week off, and then a month on, month off in the summer. But we stay in touch with each other because we cross-cover each other in like a second call system. So that level of commitment brings us pretty close. We know each other's patients well, and all of our families know the two of us. So we are essentially one, and we work real hard to try and keep that level of commitment. We know that our adult neurosurgical colleagues can cover us and do the job, but not quite to the level of a children's hospital level of a commitment. It's total focus. And our colleagues are extremely good and extremely supportive. But that level of coming down to emergency on your own and going to the neonatal unit on your own and showing up to make rounds twice a day, it's different in a children's hospital. And that's what we do. And we've grown pretty close because of it.
Dr. Mehta, you sound like Louie and Rick from Casablanca.
No, I think, Keith brings up a great point. And people are all different, but at the end of the day, I think we both strongly believe that the children in Edmonton should get the best care in the world. So if you have that as a basis for what you're going to do, then all the little things, they really don't matter that much. And so there may be different approaches for operations and different approaches to problems, but at the end of the day, there's never one right answer. And even on the drive here, we have two cases on the ward right now that are controversial, and we're banging it back and forth how to approach it. Should we go into this part of the brain on a young boy next week, or should we wait a few weeks and see if he'll get better on his own? And so one of the things is that, I don't know if, you know, pediatric neurosurgery, it's not an exact science. There's a lot of massaging and a lot of judgment that goes on. And part of that makes it fun, actually. And if you can't have fun doing it and you can't share it with someone, then it often gets boring quick. So I think there's the aspect of clinical medicine that if you share with someone and your fundamentals are the same, it's very enjoyable. And then the other aspect is hopefully that'll push you to try to make the system better.
I want to thank the two of you very much for taking the time to speak with me this morning.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you very much.
Dr. Keith Aronik and Dr. Vivek Mehta are pediatric neurosurgeons at the Stollery Children's Hospital. That's the best of Sounds Like Canada. Highlights from our show on CBC Radio 1, heard weekday mornings at 10 o'clock. I'm Sheila Rogers. Thank you for listening.
For more on all of our CBC podcasts, head to cbc.ca/podcasting.